a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, March 14th of 2023. I am Paul Gallant, and this, as Mr. Voiceman himself said, is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. One you can jump aboard by calling in at 713-780-3776, texting in at that very same number, joining us on Twitch in our often toxic chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can watch the show on studio. Got my cute little Houston hat on, wearing a gray jacket because it's like 3 degrees in here. But you can also interact with us on Twitter at Gallant Says, at ESPN975, at Sean A. Mapes behind the glass, because that's Sean Mapes. Hi, Sean. How are you doing on this Tuesday? Are you okay with what the Houston Texans are doing in free agency with the legal tampering window officially open?
Yeah, I'm mostly happy that they're keeping all the tampering legal legal tampering period. That's really what it's all about. You know, if you're going to tamper, make sure it's on the up and up.
Got to be on the up and up. Otherwise, you're going to get a call from someone in HR. Thanks to our friends at HR&P. No, it wasn't Granato who was tampering. But who was it that was tampering? Okay, it's the Houston Texans with a couple of moves. And people, these are the kind of moves you should have expected. You should not be up in arms or really having much of an opinion anyway, shape, or form about the moves they've made. Today, they made a trade for former Patriots, former Buccaneers, guard, Shaq Mason. They traded a 6th-round pick for Mason. They get a 7th with Mason in return. Something I was going to suggest. Not a big splash move, but it's definitely an improvement on your interior offensive line. Maybe he's someone you think about playing at center. These are the kind of moves that you should be expecting for a team that is nowhere close to competing. There's a lot of holes that need to be filled. And yeah, you would like to have more talented players on the roster than you saw last year. Jimmy Ward, a safety or slot corner. That's what he played last year in San Francisco. A guy who got in a fight with DeAndre Hopkins once. Chase Winovich. Nick Caserio drafted him into the 3rd round in 2019. Andrew Beck, a tight end and fullback with glorious hair. Scott Questenberry's back in the building. Robert Woods, Mike Boone, and oh man, we might need to do an entire show on Case Keenum, who is back for another stint with the Houston Texans. That's what you should have expected. And we should just be able to move on, right? Wrong. Because I'm realizing that my approach to sports talk radio going forward might be freaking out about other people freaking out and yelling at them to calm down. I saw a headline in the Houston Chronicle. Texans dive into the free agent pool yields more ripple than splash, reads the headline. Nick Caserio finally has the cap space he's long trumpeted, but his early agreements reflect a GM still playing things conservatively. Who actually likes it when a fatty boom batty jumps into a pool and cannonballs everybody? Who actually likes it outside of 4th graders? Serious question. Who likes a cannonball? Because that article is suggesting that that's maybe the approach that they should take. I also saw a post that the ESPN 97.5 Twitter account, at ESPN 97.5, posted with the fellas from the Wheelhouse. Jake Asman, but specifically Cody Stutes and Brad Kellner, are not thrilled with the lack of action by the Texans to this point.
When you've had the last 2 off-seasons that the Texans have had,
You get weary because this one has started the exact same way the last two free agencies have gone. So that's it. Like, this front office, mainly Nick Caserio, does not deserve the benefit of the doubt because what we've seen from him in free agency hasn't been good. Now, he didn't have a lot of resources the last 2 years. We get that. We've acknowledged that. But the hope was that, oh, man, with all of this extra cap space the Texans had, they were going to come out swinging. And so far, they're just kind of chilling.
And it's not like he's got 2 years of like, oh, look at those bargain bin players paying off for Nick Caserio. Like,
yep.
It's just been something that I've been concerned about with Nick Caserio in the way that he has seemingly lost trades when they involve players, and certainly his free agency evaluation of some of these players, in addition to the players that have got to stick around with the Houston Texans. I'm unsure of his ability and his staff's ability to accurately scout players who are already in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
They have not had a lot of success scouting guys that have played for other teams and bringing them in and having some success with those guys. Like, they've had far more misses than successes in that category. So I do wonder if that plays, like, if he just has a bad grade on everybody, he doesn't want to spend any money, then, like, when are you spending the money and what are you spending the money on? Like,
why do you want the money to be spent? Are they new here? Are they new to watching the NFL? Serious question. And it's designed to sound condescending. Who actually wins by winning in free agency? How many times have we seen the Dolphins go on a spending spree, sign randos that don't deserve massive contracts, only for that to lead to nothing? Same thing with the Commanders. These are the two teams that were guilty of going big in free agency the most over the last 20 years. And look, I get it for both Brad and Cody. They haven't watched a great team growing up. They haven't. Traditionally, great teams aren't going to be winning Super Bowls by making move after move in free agency. And you have to look at it through this prism. Forget about the scouting side of things. I would like some examples on the trades that have been disastrous for the Houston Texans in terms of trading for a veteran player. You take flyers on guys who you think you can get help from, that you know, that you are familiar with. And if they don't work out, it's not the end of the world, because the situation the Texans have been in since Caserio came in has been one of trying to figure out what the hell they're doing next. Rebuilding. 2019, you get out of that season, you get into 2020, 2021, 2022. It's been a bleeping disaster since then. Is that going to be fixed by throwing money the way that right now the Chicago Bears are throwing money? And the Bears have thrown a lot of money around. People are wondering, well, why didn't the Texans go after somebody like former Bills linebacker Tremaine Edmonds? 4 years, $2 million deal, $50 million guaranteed. They signed linebacker TJ Edwards from Philadelphia, guard Nate Davis, defensive end DeMarcus Walker. They've signed a lot of guys. They've spent a lot of money. They also had twice the cap space of the Houston Texans going into this offseason. I'm just trying to figure out if they wanted that. Do you want to do what the previous regime loved doing? Sign linebackers to big extensions like Bernardrick McKinney, like Zach Cunningham? How did those two contracts work out? We're talking middle linebacker here. The Bears are signing a guy in Tremaine Edmonds who literally is a worse version of the guy that they already had, Roquan Smith, who they traded to Baltimore instead of paying. But I'm assuming that because the Texans have not done a lot to this point in free agency, that's what both Cody and BK are looking for. It starts off slow. Yeah, it does start off slow generally when a team's one of the worst in the NFL the year before. I don't understand why we shouldn't give Nick any benefit of the doubt because of the way that this organization has been in free agency. Are you expecting things to be different? Why do you need a splash? Are you five? Do you need to be distracted by some big, wonderful move at this point in the year? No, you don't, because you knew where this team was going, which is not anywhere anytime soon. And that's not going to be changed by making a big signing. By the way, you have to convince the guys that you signed the big contracts with to actually want to play for a team that is definitely far away from contention. And while I think they should extend Laremy Tunsil. That's the only person I'm thinking about out there that is really worthy of a contract. I joked about Lamar Jackson. It would be fun to bring in Lamar Jackson. It sure would be. It would give this team a lot more relevance, but that's not going to bring the Texans back into contention. You need to come out swinging. You can't shop in the bargain bin. No, that's the only way you should be approaching it in free agency. What matters this offseason is what Nick Caserio does in the draft. That is really it as far as the big picture of this organization. And then you bring in guys to fill out the roster. You are not in a position right now where you should be spending big in free agency. And we are also in a spot where this is not something we should be freaking out about. I feel like we should have learned something by now. Anyone who follows the NFL should know that going big in free agency is not the approach to winning a Super Bowl unless you are close. The finishing pieces, okay, fine. Do what the Rams did. Look what the Rams are now. If the Texans pulled the Rams from a couple of years ago, are they going to be in the Super Bowl? No. This impatience, I don't get it. You have to be patient with this team. You have to be somewhat patient with the Rockets too. And you want to be seeing development along the way. But I don't get frustration, criticism, or whining about Caserio right now. I just don't. I don't have the energy for it. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in as well. On the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, you can tweet us. At Gallant says, one of the moves the Houston Texans made could help them with that brand rehabilitation. I can't believe that they went in this bargain bin, though, to get a player that fills a pretty key need. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
If the Wheelhouse Boys want to splash, here's all I'm saying. Tell me what kind of splash you want. Okay? That's it. On the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776. I totally stepped over some audio we were about to play. I did want to read this text, though, for a second. Rockets showing out, putting that loss on the Celtics. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty concerned about the Celtics right now. But that was a nice win for the Rockets. And shout out to Jabari Smith Jr., who has been playing out of his bleeping mind over the last couple of games. He was 5 for 6 from outside? Wait, what? What is happening, Sean Mapes?
At one point, he was 9 from 9 from the field.
What is going on? When did he become good at offense?
And then I saw, they showed it during the AT&T broadcast, that he was the first teenager ever to have 3 straight 20-10 games.
This is exciting. I don't want to get too excited about it because at the end of last year, Jalen Green went on a bleeping tear too. So just remember that. And Jalen Green is not making that same development. Something I got triggered by, Sean, when I saw the box score and the write-up about the game last night, was that it led with, like, Jalen Green scores 28. And it's like, did you see how he scored the 28? He got to the free throw line a lot, but he was really inefficient.
I can tell you that they did not see the box score because most of the game recaps are written by, like, AI at this point.
That is true.
They probably just look for whoever scored the most points on the winning team and said, Green leads the team to victory.
It is kind of surprising that that's what's highlighted and not Jason Tatum playing like doo-doo. Jaylen Brown, who I love, scoring 45 points or whatever he did. Nope, it's...
And Jayshon Tate maybe point shaving.
Ooh.
It just played awful. He made like 5 straight just horrendous plays.
Was he better than Deshaun Nix?
Deshaun Nix was awesome because he was... DMP coach's decision.
You know, a lot of people used to think that this guy was getting railroaded because he wasn't playing and it was a coach's decision. But guys, our sweet prince is home. He's coming home.
He's coming home. Remember this night in 2013. It was awesome. Let's play a clip.
Second and 10. Fine time again. Keeman going deep. And it is caught. Andre Johnson again for the touchdown. Perfect pass over the head and arms of Antoine Bethea. 41 yards.
Few Houston Texans game have had me as drunk feeling for no reason as that game, November, I want to say 3rd of 2013, almost a decade ago, between the Houston Texans and Indianapolis Colts in Sunday Night Football, where Case Keenum, in his second game as quarterback of the Houston Texans, begins the game with two bomb touchdown passes to Andre Johnson and throws him a third one right before halftime. Then things get even more weird because Gary Kubiak had a mini stroke. He gets sent to the hospital and the game just continues as if nothing had happened. What a long, bizarre, fun game. And it led to a lot of Cougs fans who can be a tad sensitive from time to time. I saw from the Chronicle, Joseph Duarte posted a link to an AP poll that has the Cougs at 8th. Just one. And the AP poll, by the way, at this point in the year, does not matter at all. And I saw tons of Cougs fans getting pissed off about it. Look, guys.
The best part is that he tagged the reporter in the tweet, too. Like,
just, He did.
Dude, what?
Listen, he was making them aware. We chatted a little bit afterwards because I think we were being snarky with one another. And we were like, hey, like let's get back to the basics here. And I was just saying, I think it's funny that Cougs fans get mad about that. They were getting mad about the fact that Gary Kubiak turned away from Case Keenum after a couple of games. I actually wrote a column calling for Kubiak to be fired after he decided to go back to Matt Schaub in a game between the Texans and the Raiders. I was like, hey, just let's just see what Keenum has for the rest of the season, okay? But anyway, Keenum is back. And the Texans, look, they've done a little bit of fan servicing this offseason, no? They hired D'Amico Ryans. He might have been the best head coaching candidate out there. And now they're bringing back Case Keenum. And look, I'm happy they brought back Case Keenum. I really am. Case Keenum is definitely better than every quarterback on the roster. I would have taken Jimmy Garoppolo and overpaid Jimmy Garoppolo just to have, in case whatever young quarterback the Texans draft with that second pick gets hurt, somebody who doesn't suck. I don't want to watch Davis Mills again. I don't want to watch Jeff Driscoll. I don't want to watch Kyle Allen. Remember when Davis Mills got benched for Kyle Allen and it was actually worse last year? I don't want that. I want to have a decent quarterback on this roster, a veteran presence, who does not need to start the season, which was the belief that people thought if the Texans signed Jimmy Garoppolo would be the case. So I'm cool with this. I'm very cool with them bringing in Case Keenum. I think a lot of people out there are too. But it is interesting to note that Case Keenum's more recently been active as a amateur impractical joker with a couple of clips that have gone viral. This is Case Keenum wearing a bucket hat at Bills training camp pretending to be a weird, creepy fan with a couple of players and get autographs from them.
Can you sign this for me, man?
Oh, yeah.
I'm your biggest fan, man.
Let's go.
Yeah, ever since you was in college, where'd you go to college, man? Where'd you go to college, man?
Hottie Toddy University.
You a hottie toddy?
Yeah, sure.
What's a hottie toddy, man?
It's a little better than a cougar.
A little better than a cougar.
A little better than a cougar.
Dang. I'm about to get kicked out of here. Okay, this 2019 one still works?
No, that doesn't.
It doesn't work?
What are you doing here?
I'm trying to get autographs, sir.
All right, then you got to go on the other side of the
room. I got to go on the other side?
Hey, Gabe, can I get your autograph, man? Can I get your autograph? Hey, man, you're my favorite player, man.
Oh, boy. It's good, right? If you watch the video, it actually is pretty funny. But this is what Case Keenum's been doing a little bit more. And look, this is unconventional, but it's not just about having Case Keenum as a veteran presence. It's also about bringing in a successful millennial influencer to help the Texans rehabilitate that brand. Fan service. You aren't just bringing in a quarterback, you're bringing in a star actor. Keenum's done this a lot. Here's Case Keenum in the team store trying to convince people to buy his number 18 jersey instead of a Josh Allen jersey.
Are y'all set on 17?
No.
What do y'all think about 18?
I don't know about that.
You don't know about that?
I don't know about.
Who's number 18?
Case Keenum.
Case Keenum? Well, let's see. How much is this? It's a 130 for a Josh Allen jersey? Let's see what this is. Let's see. I could give you this for half of the 17 jersey.
Half?
Yeah. So what is that? $65 for Case Keenum jersey.
I'm looking around.
Okay, what about if I pay you $20 to wear this? Would you take it for $20 and wear it?
Are you paying me $20? Yeah.
Yeah, you'd wear it? All right, cool. Here we go.
Gotta say, I hope that person never found out that was Case Keenum trying to give him his Case Keenum jersey. It was stitched. If you don't like it, you can unstitch the last name on a jersey. Some of you guys don't know that. You could buy, like, for example, say there's like a stitched Deshaun Watson jersey out there. Just unstitch the letter name. Boom. You got a Texans jersey. It probably costs like $5. Why not? Huh? But anyway, that's what Case Keenum is. An influencer. A prankster. And now the Houston Texans can help rehabilitate their image because they have someone who's capable of doing it. This is what you do, guys. This is Media 101. Man on the street interviews. Prank videos. That's how you go viral. Viral marketing 101. Houston Texans know about it. Do you? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call, to text on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. It is really hilarious to see the depths of groveling that the New York Jets are doing to try and get Aaron Rodgers. The latest. Oh my God, guys. Be more desperate. You'll hear about it next. First, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at TGS Insurance. Are you desperate to save money? Guess what, guys? My friends at TGS Insurance can help you do that. With insurance rates skyrocketing due to this crazy inflation, making everything more expensive, like your home policy, you might be seeing jumps of 30, 40, even 50%. In your home insurance. So that's why you got to make the switch to TGS. They make it fast and easy for you to save money with an instant quoting system that shops the market and delivers you savings in just 15 seconds. So what are you waiting for? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. See? Like 15 seconds. Multiply that by 3. You're done. You've saved money. Grab the phone. Text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system will ask you for your address. You send it back. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. This company and the savings are legit. TGS now has over 2,000 five-star reviews, and their average customer from 2022 is still saving over $800 on their home insurance. It's simple, fast, easy, and big savings. The TGS insurance way. Let them work for you today. One more time. Text MONEY to 232323 to get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Oh, boy. The Jets are such desperate little whores. It's embarrassing what they're doing to try and get Aaron Rodgers into the building. We're not even sure that Rodgers is the same quarterback that he was a couple of years ago. There's been a couple of seasons now in recent memory. In between a couple of, on the outside, the bread, the white bread in between two MVPs this past year and 4 years ago when they actually decided to draft Jordan Love, that has you wondering, okay, like how consistently can Rodgers be the guy that he used to be? But here's how desperate the Jets are getting. So they're closing in on a deal with Packers wide receiver Alan Lazard, who you might remember from recent memory. They're also expected to be discussing terms with Randall Cobb per Adam Schefter. You know what would be really funny? And I do hope that Rodgers is just trolling everybody for attention. If he gets his two buddies' jobs with the Jets and then just retires. I don't know if Jake Asman will ever show up for work again if that were to happen. I mean, for those of us who were in Las Vegas at the Circa Resort and Casino last August when Zach Wilson got injured, and everyone knew Zach Wilson was terrible at that point in time, I guess, except for Jake. Like, Jake, like, went in, just went into hiding and basically did, I think, a YouTube funeral for Zach Wilson's not even torn ACL. He still ended up playing that year.
Yeah. We were scared as an ACL.
Right, Sean. Honestly, it should have been a celebration that he might have torn his ACL. You know, if you're a Jets fan, you would have perhaps had a worse season and better draft position if you just go all year with Mike White. Whatever. Zach Wilson, he was bad. But to this point in time, the Jets are being such desperate losers, and it's so on brand with a team that has only been that in their history. You're going to sign Randall Cobb to make Aaron Rodgers accept a trade to your team? Yeah. You've done the same with Alan Lazard?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, guys.
Yeah, bring in Jordy Nelson. Yeah.
What's Clay Matthews doing?
Yeah, sign
A.J. Hawk from the Pat McAfee show. He used to play for the Packers.
Mercedes Lewis, come on down.
Mercedes Lewis. Oh, my God. It's embarrassing. You may as well trade all your first for Devontae Adams, too.
I saw that they got Alan Lazard, and I was like, I don't even know if Aaron Rodgers likes Alan or Lazard, because he's one of the young receivers that I assume he hates all of them.
Right. I thought he didn't like that one.
And then the Jets winning are talking to Randall Cobb. I'm like, that's the guy he likes. That's the guy. He went out of his way to go get off the Texans.
Listen, guys, I know a lot of people question my sexuality from time to time. Randall Cobb has the most glorious eyes I've ever seen on a man. They like just pierce you. That's all I needed to say, okay? All right, let's keep on rolling. Oh, wait, no, we're not done talking about Aaron Rodgers. Because there's also a bunch of dumb tweets from Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner over the weekend that showed some optimism for something. And rock bottom. This is rock bottom in terms of sports talk for me. Rasul Douglas apparently stole Aaron Rodgers' phone last night or something. Or at least they were playing around as if he was. And Rasul Douglas was told to tweet from Aaron Rodgers' account if he actually did have Aaron Rodgers' phone. And then he did. And he just tweeted, Rasul. By the way, maybe he does have his phone. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is just, again, along for the ride because he likes to mess with everybody. And here I am giving Aaron Rodgers exactly what he wants for the first 5 minutes of this segment. I'll be happy with it, assuming that he breaks Jets fans' hearts. That's all I want.
That whole Rasul Douglas thing.
That was rock bottom for me, Sean. It was in that moment right there I wondered aloud, do I even like sports anymore? What am I doing here? Why am I on the internet?
40-year-old man doing the Facebook like 13-year-old thing of like, oh,
I got hacked. I know, it's the worst. Not the worst. Jimmy Garoppolo, because he also, like Randall Cobb, is handsome. He signed a 3-year deal worth up to $72.75 million with the Las Vegas Raiders. We found that out in the second half of yesterday's show. And people saw this and were like, I'm so glad the Texans didn't do it. It's not that obstructive of a contract. Essentially, it could be a one-year $24.25 million deal. It is entirely loaded with incentives that depend on whether or not Jimmy Garoppolo is healthy. So, you really would have been opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo over the three quarterbacks on roster last year? Would you really have been opposed to him over those guys? It's weird that people were breathing a sigh of relief. Garoppolo could be the quarterback that they sign in free agency and they could draft the guy and that guy could beat out Garoppolo in training camp. I go back to 2012 with the Seattle Seahawks. They signed Matt Flynn in free agency after he has a couple of good games at the end of the year with the Packers. And everyone's like, all right, Matt Flynn's the starting quarterback. They draft Russell Wilson in the third round, and Russell Wilson beats him out. And maybe that's because the Seahawks are a little bit more open to competition as opposed to having like a preset decision made going into a season. We saw Bill O'Brien do that before with Tom Savage starting the 2017 season over Deshaun Watson. But he pulled the plug on that one really quickly. Garoppolo would not have obstructed the Texans from playing whatever young quarterback that they're going to end up drafting with that number two overall pick.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's if everyone doesn't want him because he stinks, then that's fine. He'll be the backup.
Yeah.
I don't know. But super smart by the Texans to not get him. So there's the celebration, and then like 15 minutes later, you know who we did get, though.
Case Keenum. Right.
Crowd erupts.
It's hilarious. People were celebrating the Texans not signing Jimmy Garoppolo as if that would have been some disaster. But you still want the Texans to make a big splash in free agency.
But not that splash.
Right. Make up your mind.
And no Odell Beckham either.
That is also true. Other randos across the NFL who you might recognize the name of. The Chiefs signed tackle Jawan Taylor, the guy who made Joey Bosa lose his mind with slide step false starts in that Jaguars-Chargers game, to a four-year $80 million deal. Which I guess means that they're out on Orlando Brown, but maybe not. Great reporting out there, huh? Also, I guess a Laremy Tunsil trade to the Chiefs also hasn't been ruled out. Nothing has been ruled out. Free agency.
What a great move. They got a tackle, and they still might get another.
They could get three tackles. The new three-tackle offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Andy Reid, you did it again.
What a rascal Andy Reid is. It would be pretty funny to have an off... Like, you know when the Chiefs did that thing where everyone was running around in a circle? Yeah, you got like three tackles in the middle of it, too. That would confuse the hell out of a defense. Tremaine Edmonds, former Bills linebacker, really athletic, signed a four-year $72 million deal with $50 million guaranteed to go play for the Bears. The Bears had Roquan Smith, and they just decided to sign a worse version of him in free agency. So that's interesting. The Bengals continue to be cheap. Safety Jesse Bates is signed by the Atlanta Falcons. Four-year, $64 million deal. You might recognize him. They also signed Taylor Heinicke. You also might recognize him. Austin Eckler wants a trade. Los Angeles Chargers running back. Former Vikings defensive tackle Dalvin Tomlinson signed a four-year, $57 million deal with the Browns. Patrick Peterson signed with the Steelers. Mike White signed with the Dolphins. And also, interestingly, no wide receivers outside of Robert Woods have been signed in free agency to this point.
Oh, no. This morning, Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers did sign with somebody. Who did he sign with?
With the Las Vegas Raiders.
Ooh.
The team he threw the ill-advised lateral to last year.
And it was all an inside job.
Threw it straight to Chandler Jones.
And now, Jimmy Garoppolo will be throwing straight to him. Josh McDaniels has got the band back together.
Wow, he really did get all three Raiders that we just named, Garoppolo, Chandler Jones, mm-hmm. and Jacoby Myers all. Wow.
Huzzah. The move the Texans made today is they traded for Shaquille Mason. So that's good. That's a good move. That guy is better than their guards. Period. I think they also cut AJ Can based off of a comment on the Twitch chat. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. It is the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Have the Rockets finally found a young star to build around? I know we were saying that about Jalen Green last year, but it appears Jabari Smith Jr. is him. Plus, is Ja Morant back on the right track? Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Houston Rockets might have the second worst record in the NBA, but they did beat the Boston Celtics, my Boston Celtics, second in the Eastern Conference last night. Got to give them credit. Was a game where the Celtics were without Robert Williams. It also was a game where Jason Tatum struggled.
very inefficient night, missed a layup at the very end of the game that looked pretty makeable, at least based off of what we've seen for the most part from Tatum this season. But credit to Houston, and specifically credit to Jabari Smith Jr. Holy crap. Over the last couple of games, Smith has been shooting the lights out, specifically from outside. 9 for 11 from the field, 9 for 9 to start things off, 5 of 6 from 3, 11 rebounds, 24 points, and as highlighted by the broadcast, he's the first teenager in NBA history to have 3 straight games with 20 points and 10 rebounds. That is surprising. I would have thought that maybe Kevin Garnett had something like that back in the day, because that is somebody who skipped high school to go straight to the pros.
Boy, he skipped college.
My bad.
He didn't skip high school.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Imagine if someone skipped high school, like an eighth grader.
That'd be hilarious.
It'd be like a Disney movie.
Yeah,
honestly.
I was going to say, I think that's Like Mike. That's the movie Like Mike.
You are right. It's Like Mike. And then at the very end, they have to stop him from playing because they realize that they've been violating child labor laws. Hmm. What a bummer. Here's Jabari Smith talking about his recent play after the game.
Just letting it go, man. Trusting my work. I've been playing basketball since I was born. Like, trusting my work, trusting what got me here, and just letting it fly.
You take a lot of pride in your defense. How have you seen that evolve your rookie year?
Just trying to challenge myself, you know. Going against the greatest players in the world is not going to be easy. You're going to get scored on. Just trying to challenge yourself to compete, you know, compete with the best.
Jalen, Garuba, KJ, a lot of you seem to find your rhythm tonight. How's the team chemistry been going?
It's coming together. You know, we just young, trying to grow with each other. We still learning the league together. You know what I mean? KJ third year, Jalen second, my first. We're still learning. You know what I mean? We just going to keep growing together and keep trusting each other.
They've had a couple of nice wins this year. They beat Philly. They beat Milwaukee. They beat Phoenix. They've beaten Boston.
And that's a quarter of their win.
Thank you. That's for doing the math.
Four out of the 16.
That was quick. Look, you win every now and then in the NBA, but this has been very promising to see from Jabari Smith Jr., who is clearly very young and very raw. And you hope that as his frame fills out, that he continues to improve. This is actually a check for Stephen Silas, a rare one, but I'm not getting that same vibe out of Jalen Green. Speaking of Jalen Green, who had a rather inefficient game, 28 points, but not the greatest night from the field. Free throw line, yes. Here's what Jalen Green had to say about the Jabari Smith haters.
He's going crazy right now. He's in that mode. I'm happy for him because, like I said before, we know the real Jabari, and he's showing it right now to everybody, everyone who doubted him, the haters, everyone. He's showing it right now.
The doubters, the haters, do they exist for Jabari Smith Jr.? I don't think they do. I think most people wanted Paolo Banchero in this year's draft, and of course he didn't fall to the Houston Rockets, so they got Jabari Smith Jr., and Smith has played really well this year. Can't it just be as simple as that? Why do there always have to be doubters and haters? And those doubters and haters should be looking at Jalen Green, I think, right now, because Green has not made much progress this season. I think that that could be a result of poor coaching, but it also has to be a result of the actual player. And I wonder how the Rockets can get more out of Jalen Green. I suppose a point guard would help. That might help. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've always kind of compared Jalen Green to Devin Booker just because they're kind of score-first shooting guards. And they did this. The Phoenix Suns did the same thing with Devin Booker the first like 5 years of his career. Just didn't have a point guard next to him, and he was inefficient chucker. And then they get Chris Paul, and they make the finals.
There you go.
Sometimes it really is as simple as that.
Maybe that will make things better, and hopefully the Rockets do find someone like that in the near future, so that we don't see Deshaun Nix ever. Anyway, some comments on the Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. HiDaddy20 says that there is actually hate for Jabari Smith Jr. online. He gets clowned on socials by non-Rockets fans, mostly clowning the Rockets for picking him. it's weird to have rash judgments about players early on. And I would even say that with Jalen Green. I think if you were to compare these guys to their peers, especially to guys taken after them, which is what Bill Simmons did with Jalen Green and Evan Mobley, right? Mobley has statistically been better this year than he was last year. And for the most part, Green has been down outside of the total scoring numbers, which, okay, the scoring numbers are up, but anyone can score on a bad team. And I'm not crushing Green. It's more I wanted more out of Green this year. I was hoping we would get it in the second half of last year. We haven't gotten it. It should be able to be as simple as that. Why do we have to lose our minds about everything? Is that what gets ratings? Is that what gets attention? Is that what gets engagement? Yelling about this?
Yeah, you have to be a hater, dude.
Okay. Maybe I need to be...
That's what Jalen Green sees. He doesn't see all the measured Paul Gallant takes. He sees all the haters and doubters for Jabari Smith and the 16 and 50 Rockets.
Sean, do you think in order to better my brand that I should, instead of being critical, skeptical, I should just go full pander? Like, full pander. Like, full...
pander?
Can I say that person's name? Nah, I can't say his name. Full pander. You know who I'm talking about. And I like him. He's great. He's a good guy. But he panders. I put on for my city. On for my city. He is the walking embodiment of that song. He's a sports media guy. A lot of Rockets fans on the internet, like, they just want that positive news. You know? Like an innocuous tweet saying, hey, why is Bill Simmons talking about me? No, that's a dunk on Bill Simmons. Should I approach it that way? Because, look, sports radio, it's a great industry. Very thankful that I work here at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But I do need to, you know, create an empire online. And maybe it's done by lying to everybody and constantly acting like everything's great.
No, yeah. So step one, yes, you fillet the Houston team, all the Houston teams.
How dare? Did you see, Sean, the people who were criticizing Jabari Smith for only being 5 of 6 from outside last night? Yeah. Unbelievable. I'll kill them all.
Well, and you also had to post, like, the picture of Jabari Smith and then, like, very cherry-picked stats. I mean, like,
yeah.
This guy is the only guy ever to do this at this age. then...
He's the only 6'11" person
from
to
Auburn.
Shoot 66%+ from three over a 3-game stretch.
Yes, and then step two, that's when the knives come out for the other guys.
Hell yeah.
You go, Paolo Banchero, only shooting 25% from three, bum, can't make it in the league.
Boom. Paolo Banchero, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, bum, because I don't know how to pronounce his
Chet
last
Holmgren.
Name.
Chet Holmgren. Eat a sandwich, loser.
Is he injured?
Yes, he's still hurt. He broke his leg, or he broke his foot, like, bumping into LeBron in a
game. You're right, the Pro-Am game. Damn, he's been out that whole time. That's a bummer. That actually is a bummer. Paul Gallant,
sandwich, loser. Oh.
speaking of losers, Sean Mapes, John Morant, he is trying to become a not loser because he's gone to rehabilitation in Florida. Seems like Florida is not where I'd want my rehabilitation to be located. Anyone else?
Especially because it's like, what is he getting rehabilitated for? I don't want to laugh at him, but what exactly is it for? Guns?
I think it's for guns. And Florida's not where you want to go to be rehabilitated for guns. You should be going to New York or California to be rehabilitated for guns.
I like how Tennessee is definitely out there. They're like, we could not find a licensed doctor who wants you to use less guns. I'm sorry.
Everyone wants more. They want you to be Davy Crockett. I'm trying to think of what it is that they're going to do with Ja Morant in this treatment center or whatever it is. Again, in Florida. By the way, did you see the viral picture that was leaked out by that strip club where the entire place is covered with dollar bills? Dollar bills, yo. He spent, I guess, over a weekend, $900,000 there and left $15,000 in tips. He's charitable.
I feel like money management might be the thing he needs help with.
Yeah.
But
and
he's just throwing it away. Holy crap.
So Shotgun Willie's is like, we already made $1 million this year because of John Morant.
Maybe they're trying to do some rehab for him. Like saying, like, look how charitable he is. He's thinking about women's futures.
I mean, the owner did come out and be like, he was a model citizen at this strip club.
It honestly seems like it has been a model citizen.
As far as a strip club patron, yes.
Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. I wouldn't know. I don't know you can go to strip clubs and be a model citizen, I think. I don't go to strip clubs.
Well, he's in trouble for flashing a gun on Instagram Live.
But it wasn't even that big, guys. Come on.
Almost makes it worse.
It is really amazing how dumb he's been of late. And what's funny is they're sending him to a treatment center in Florida. What does that even mean?
Come learn common sense in Florida.
In Florida. I live there. We're crazy.
Also, they're not saying, like, is this Miami? Is this Orlando? Like, Florida's a pretty big state.
It's a massive state. There's all sorts of places.
He's in Florida. What? Okay.
Yeah.
It's like the girlfriend in Canada excuse. It's like, oh, no, he's seeing treatment in Florida. All right.
Doesn't make me feel great about his chances. But anyway, Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. People have been critical of me because I haven't had enough baseball conversation recently. Well, guys, we've got some piping hot World Baseball Classic takes, including why all Martin Maldonado doubters, why you should perhaps remove your own tongue from your body. I'm telling you why next. Paul Galancho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
97.5.